impacting international travel. High-speed southeastern services are also not running. There are huge crowds at St. Pancras, with some customers in tears while these passengers are stranded in Paris trying to reach the UK.
It's pretty disappointing to find out via an email what happened.
It's a little bit complicated, but I mean, what can you do? You can't really do anything.
No plan right now. We're online with the travel agent and she's trying to find a hotel, so not looking good.
A 23-year-old man's been remanded in custody at Sheffield Magistrates Court after he was charged with the murder of Chris Marriott. The father of two died after being hit by a car while trying to help a stranger on Wednesday. Two men have died while another two are in a life-threatening condition after a house fire in South Croydon last night. Police and the London Fire Brigade are investigating what caused it and trying to inform their next of kin. A fifth person's left hospital. Stars of stage, screen and sport have been celebrated in the King's New Year Honours list. Among the celebrity names are Game of Thrones actress Emilia Clarke, Bake Off star Paul Hollywood and singer Leona Lewis. In sport, the second Old Firm match of the Scottish Premiership season could bring the title race closer together in a snowy Glasgow lunchtime. Brendan Rodgers' Celtic are 5 points ahead of Rangers, whose boss Philippe Clement is experiencing the derby for the first time.
It's such an iconic game. Got a great result at Ibrox earlier on the season. Now we're in front of our own supporters, so we're really excited by it.
A lot of people are saying it's a game that's nowhere else in the world. It's that atmosphere, so I'm curious about it.
Chelsea kick off at Luton in the Premier League's early game later this hour. Among today's other matches, champions Manchester City host bottom side Sheffield United. That's the latest. I'm Claire Gregory.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Get up out of your rocking chair, Grandma!
Or rather, would you care to dance, Grandmother?
Good afternoon, how are we? We got there, ladies and gentlemen. End of the year. Should we do this?
listen to sorrow. I try to tell her, wait until tomorrow.
Some of your Saturday afternoon with Spencer Carter and the Weekend Wind-Up. Great pop music, forgotten classics, and some laughs along the way. Every Saturday from midday, only on Phoenix FM.
And as I say, welcome to the Weekend Wind-Up here on Phoenix 98 FM. How are you? I hope you're well. Hope you're having a great Christmas week. Over the main hurdle now. All back to normal. But I hope you're well anyway, as I said. You're having a good weekend. And you can't face another chocolate. It's a horrible period, isn't it? Said to Keith earlier, you know, when you're thinking, what should we have for dinner tonight? And you think, I really don't care. I can't think of eating another thing. But let's forget that. End of year show. Got a great film and DVD review coming out. Our favourite films of the year. All usual features. Danny's choice today is a classic. Love it. And everything. So get in touch. Email me, radio@phoenixfm.com or social media. Let me know what you're up to, what you're getting. New Year messages, and we'll play some great music for you.
Trying to do it on my own. Everywhere I go with you, be home. Everywhere I go, I wish I was in Valencia with you. Sun is shining, we got nothing left to prove. You tell my scars into your corner from my blue.
Had hundreds of steps, whilst this bungalow had none. And this little semi said, me, 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 make me your home.
Whatever your property requirements, Beresford's have it covered. To book your free valuation, pop into one of our 17 branches across Essex and into Greater London, or visit beresfords.co.uk.
Immerse yourself in the true Mediterranean essence at Lealina Modern Lebanese, nestled on Billericay's vibrant high street. Uncover the magic of our hidden garden. Sip on exceptional cocktails, savour unforgettable cuisine, and create cherished memories that linger long after you leave. Enjoy a complimentary glass of house wine when you mention Phoenix FM upon booking. Available Sunday to Thursday. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you looking for a reliable local travel agent to book your next holiday? At Not Just Travel Brentwood, we can book tour operators such as Jet 2 Holidays, TUI, Hayes Travel, and many more. We package any type of holiday together with full ATOL and APTA protection, giving you complete peace of mind. Visit our website, dinaandwarren.notjusttravel.com, and let us take away the stress of booking that dream getaway.
Phoenix FM travel news.
Okay, first travel update of the day from me today. Roads are looking quite busy out there, a mixture of the rain and the weather, and obviously people still off for the festive break. So as you leave Brook Street roundabout, heading towards Brentwood High Street past Mary Green Manor, very congested at the moment. That's just heavy traffic. Brentwood High Street, very, very busy as usual. Around Brentwood Station, there's a broken down vehicle causing some problems. As you leave on the B186, heading towards Worley, so be mindful of that as well. The local surrounding areas, Rayleigh Road and Hutton's, look quite busy at the moment as well. On the A127 south endbound, as you just pass the Basildon turn-off, looks like there was a minor accident earlier. One lane was closed. It's now been reopened. But all in all, traffic is now moving, but still a bit congested. Now, as we know, there are major problems today on lots of train networks. If you are thinking of, or if you were planning to travel on Eurostar today, you do need to check with your travel providers, because there is a major incident in one of the tunnels with some flooding, which mean all services from London St Pancras or Ashford are cancelled at the moment. You need to check with them if you're heading out on other mainline services. Trains into London Liverpool Street and C2C subject to timetable alteration. They're still using the festive timetables at the moment, so check with them. London Underground, the delays on the District Circle and Jubilee line at the moment, with a planned closure on parts of the Northern line later on this afternoon. I'll be able to update you on that in the next hour.
Fell into a bucket of cream.
Here's two guys that fell into a radio station to talk about movies on Phoenix FM.
As it's a Saturday, of course, we've got Mark Searby in the studio talking about films and DVDs. But as it's the end of the year, we thought we'd do something a bit different and a bit special. So we are, well, we're going to go through our top films of the year. Hello, sir.
Hello. Yes, I mean, it's a daunting task, isn't it, Spencer? When somebody says to you, what are your favourite movies of the year?
I must admit, when you said to me, we're going to do this, or shall we do it? And I was like, yeah. And then when I started breaking it down, I was like, well, shall I include that? No, shall I include that? And then you question your decisions, don't you? And in the end, I thought, just stop overthinking it and just put down what you liked. And that was it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. I mean, I have a ongoing list on my computer that is basically my, you know, the films I've really enjoyed of the year, and then when it comes to about November, I start whittling that down. I will tell you this, by November this year, by November 2023, I had 15 titles on there.
I remember our conversations we've had over the past few months. And it's like, quite often you've said, oh, I really like that. That's going on my list. And I was like, that list is building and building.
Look, it's been an interesting year for movies, really, and for cinemas. We're now past the, thankfully, past the pandemic stage of cinemas being closed and, you know, cinemas reopening and finding their feet again. It's been back to how it possibly was pre-pandemic. I'm not talking about box office, that's still down slightly, but I'm talking about the amount of movies we're getting now, really. That's the thing. We look at the amount of movies that are coming out. On any given week, you or I could review up to 9 films. There was a week, I think it was in November, where there was 15 titles. 15 that we could
crazy,
have done. It's absolutely crazy. And so, you know, there is a lot of movies out there. I get that. But at the same time, people are consuming movies a lot quicker now because obviously you've got the advent of streaming, DVD, digital platforms.
Well, I was going to say to you, do you think box office is slightly down because of those streaming channels?
Well, it's very difficult to measure box office in this new era, I think. It's really difficult because we could talk about how some people are saying Napoleon didn't do that well. But it might very well do very well on digital platforms. So do you include that type of money as well? It's difficult to really look at anything these days and go, that's a bona fide box office smash, apart from the ones that are making, you know, over 500 million. Something like Barbie or something like Oppenheimer. Look at those. They've made staggering amounts of money. We would, in years previous, be talking about superhero movies, but 2023 has not been kind to superhero movies at all. It's been, this has been the year where suddenly there's been a sea of change. I'm talking about live-action superhero movies, actually, here. And those movies have started to drift away, and suddenly what we've seen in place of that is real filmmaking again. Real storytelling.
And also, as well with our superhero movies, if you look at, I mean, really, if you take Marvel, for example, they were relatively untouchable, weren't they, with their superhero movies? Even ones that where people thought they wouldn't do well, they've always done well. But if you look at the critique around the Marvels, for example, that was recently out and things like that, it's kind of, the shine's wore off on those films, isn't it? That they've really got to kind of go back to, I think, the drawing board and try and reinvent themselves.
I do agree with you. They've got to find something. The draw that we've had this year has been people going to see movies that they've probably not been to see on the big screen for years. There's a change, and I'm pleased for it. It means we're welcoming in new storytelling, new story makers, new filmmakers. I will say that there are, on my list, there are movies on there that I'm sure people are going to go, what? That's in the top 10? But I will explain why it's in the top 10. So there's movies in here that I'm sure people will go very much against. But at the same time, it's been such an interesting year. It's been a very diverse year. It really
Well, it's subjective, isn't it? You know, we've had this discussion many times. What I may particularly love, you may particularly not enjoy. And vice versa. It's just, that's what filmmaking's all about, isn't it?
Is it? Well, that's what art is all about. Whether it's filmmaking, whether it's music, whether it's books, whether it's TV. You know, it's all about opinions, informed opinions. I must say that, you know, you have to have seen the thing to actually have an informed opinion about it. But that's the beauty of it, especially movies. We've all got an opinion about the movies now, which is great. It's great. You know, look at it. I know how pressed for time you are on the show, Spencer, so how about we do our top three films each for 2023? And then if anybody wants to listen to us talk about the top 10 films, our top 10 films of 2023, then they can check out the podcast. You know, you just search for Phoenix FM Film Reviews on all podcast platforms, and you can hear Spencer and I go longer and in more depth about our favourite films of the year. However, right now on air, we're going to do our top three films each. So what's your third favourite film of the year, Spencer?
Fantastic. So number three for me, again, a film that kind of, I don't think it had a cinema release. Oh, if it did, it was limited. It was a streaming channel, and it was a film called Old Dads. And it's basically about three best friends who are middle-aged. They are kind of all, they work together in the same company, and they've grown up together, and they just grew up. So they did, funny enough, what you were talking about, they did all that kind of, you know, the partying, and they grew up together. But they always had this kind of dream of working together in their own company. Company gets taken over by this really young millennial new CEO, and basically they lose their jobs because of their kind of maybe their archaic attitudes and everything. And he kind of goes from bad to worse, and then his son's in this really modern nursery where he doesn't get on with the teacher, where the that one of the dads doesn't get on with the teachers, and basically it's their lives fall apart. So they go on a field trip, they go to Las Vegas. And it is the funniest film. It's, I think you need to be slightly older to appreciate it, because there's some real meaning behind it. It's kind of, it's men kind of in a, who've hit middle-aged, and I think this comes to a lot of us, really. They kind of think, what's my role? What's my purpose? What am I doing? And kind of, and they kind of reflect on that, and they're trying to hang on to their youths. And there's this really fun, there's some really funny scenes involving drug taking, and they go to a strip bar, and it's funny. Some of it is slightly cliched, but the chemistry in it is brilliant. It's a relatively unknown cast. The main one in the cast is Bobby Cannavale. I don't know if you know Bobby.
Great actor.
He's a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
And it's just a very, very funny film. And the comedic timing in it is just superb. And I highly recommend it.
So, flipping to my third favourite film of the year. This is probably no surprise, to be honest with you. Killers of the Flower Moon. Martin Scorsese's movie about the atrocities.
I knew this would be in your top five. I wonder if this would be a number one, yeah.
Yeah, no, I just... You know, look, let's be honest here. Scorsese's a master filmmaker. And the way he made this movie just really played into everything that he's very good at, which is initially it's a love story and then it's a crime movie. And the way
slightly
that
contentious question, sorry to interrupt, not looking to poke the bear, so to speak, but Scorsese is a master filmmaker. Do you think he's as legendary as he deserves?
Yes.
As the plaudits he gets?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, look, let's face it, people have been ripping him off for decades. That's the thing. It's just now we've got more talk about movies. People feel like there's a need to, you know, be negative about some people because they think that'll get them more views or more listens or whatever it is. You know, look, we've got to be honest here. If Scorsese makes an amazing movie, he makes an amazing movie. I'm not going to say that because I'm like, oh, no, it's too obvious to put it in there. Sorry, but it's an amazing movie. You know, it is a crime movie, how Scorsese makes it. It's slow moving. It takes its time. DiCaprio's great in it. When is he not? De Niro is fantastic in this. It's one of those performances where you go, yeah, I love him. Or no, I hate him. I hate him. You know, there's that twist on that. But it is, this movie belongs to Lily Gladstone. She is phenomenal in this movie. Absolutely phenomenal. Her performance in this, as the woman at the centre of it, as the one trying to find out why her Osage family, well, not family, friends and people in that area are being killed off without investigation, and yet at the same time having to deal with the fact that she has now married a white man as well. There's so much complexity to this performance and so much depth to it as well. Count me as a massive fan, because the performance in this was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And I thought the ending for Killers of the Flower Moon as well was absolutely brilliant. I won't spoil it, but there's sort of like this strange ending where somebody comes on stage and talks. And I thought, wow, you'd already, you know, there was already some really powerful points made in the entire 3 hours. And then they came on and give that sort of like coda to it, which it hit even harder. Phenomenal movie. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Scorsese's a master. You know, he puts together movies like this. And you just go, this is why I love cinema. He makes cinema. And this is another one.
My number two is again, might be slightly surprising, mainly on streaming, was Tetris.
Oh.
I wasn't sure I was going to like this at first, because when it started, it was kind of quite jokey. It was kind of had a bit of a self-awareness about it. It took me a little bit to settle in, but it really won me over quickly. And then I was really, really into it. I think Taron Egerton, who's the lead, has got so much charisma on screen anyway. And I thought he was a perfect lead in this.
Yeah.
And he really wanted you to kind of root for him. You wanted him to win. There were some slightly farcical elements to it, I will admit. There was a car chasing it that wasn't needed and things like that, but I just thought it was fantastic. And if anyone hasn't seen it, it's just basically, it's about an up-and-coming game developer, and he basically risks everything to kind of negotiate this deal with the Soviet Union for licensing rights to Tetris, which went on to become, you know, I think probably the most famous game in history, really. Really liked it. I thought it was different. I thought the styling to it was fantastic. Obviously set in the early 80s. I thought just the cinematography to it and the direction really, really found it kind of engaging and interesting. And highly recommend. I liked it.
I agree with you, Spencer. You know, when I reviewed this earlier in the year, I said it was a really good movie. And it's a story that we don't know as well. That's the thing.
Yes.
You know, if you went looking for the story, you'd know about it. But most of us, and I include myself, who played Tetris for many, many years, I didn't know this. And it's quite dark, and it's quite nasty as well. But I agree with you. Great film. It's such a good movie. And as you said, Taron Egerton, he's great in that lead role.
Yeah, it is. And I just thought it was kind of, it's, you really found yourself rooting for him and what he wanted to do. And it was kind of, loved it. Absolutely loved it.
So my second favourite movie of 2023, and this will be no surprise to most people, actually, it'll probably be a surprise that it's second instead of number one, is Oppenheimer. Christopher Nolan's biopic about the man who created the atomic bomb. You know, it's interesting that this movie...
I'm keeping quiet on this.
Okay, now it's interesting that this movie got made, and it's more interesting that it made nearly $1 billion worldwide, because it's not a happy subject. It's not a cheery subject at all. And yet, there is something so compelling in this movie that you can't look away. You know, 3 hours of, well, 2 hours of, he's going to make the bomb, and then he makes the bomb, and then an hour of, why did I make the bomb? You know, it's a look at a man who changed the world, and then the problems that it caused, not just the world, but also himself as well. So it is a movie about mental health to a certain degree. It's also a movie about how sometimes people can go too far. I could not look away from this movie at all. Even when, I mean, no spoiler here, but the bomb does go off. I just couldn't look away. I was so interested in every single facet of Oppenheimer as to how it was going to play out. Who was going to do what? Why they were doing it? Everything about it just hit me. And I just sat there going, wow, okay. You know, it's a story I kind of know, not too much. But I felt like I was being educated and also entertained to a certain degree. I mean, Christopher Nolan might say it's not an entertaining movie, maybe, but it is a film. It is a blockbuster. Pardon the pun.
Isn't it weird how I'm the polar opposite? I couldn't have cared less about those
Really?
People. I couldn't have cared less about them. I found it quite self-indulgent. I found it slow. I found it quite ploddy. Yeah.
See, well, but this goes back to what
I know
saying.
I'm in the minority with that because everyone was raving about it. So yeah. I know I'm in the minority. But
you know. I like the fact that you're pushing back against me. I like that. I mean, you're wrong, obviously. But but the fact that, you know, we're talking about a movie that is a tough subject and it's made incredibly well. It deals with real life people as well that just caught people's imagination. You know, the face-off, Oppenheimer against Barbie, helped. But let's be honest, there's a lot of people who went to see Oppenheimer who would not have gone to see it as well. And I think most of them came away going, wow.
Oh, I agree with that. As a marketing campaign, I don't think they even planned it. It worked perfectly, didn't it?
It did.
Just worked perfectly, it yeah. It did.
But for me, I was just wowed by this movie. Listen, I'm a Christopher Nolan fan anyway. You know, that man's not made a bad movie for me. But this was a real change of pace for him, I thought. And I was a bit worried that actually it might not live up to the Nolan level of filmmaking, or certainly the storytelling. But I thought it exceeded it. I really did. I just came away going, yeah, fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. Don't need to see it every 6 months. Don't need to see that. It's going to depress me quite badly. But on a filmmaking level, this was outstanding. Absolutely outstanding for me. Second favourite movie of the year. It's on Blu-ray, it's on DVD, it's on digital platforms. Just phenomenal filmmaking.
Now, I'm just realising I've been quite judgmental about that film and the past films, and I'm about to tell you what my number one is. So I feel the judgment's going to come flying back on this. My number one, and bear with me on this, I had to do it. My number one is Cocaine Bear. Right. Now, look, like everyone, I first groaned and I kind of rolled my eyes when I heard about this, about, you know, and I thought, what on earth is this? And it kind of, there was kind of like the folklore around this, wasn't it, before it came out, because people were going, they were starting to share trailers. And I remember you and I talking about it. And But it was just, everything about this film ticked a box for me. It really did. It was absurd, but the fact that it was a true concept just made it ridiculously funny. For anybody who hasn't seen it, and I'm sure the majority listening would have done.
You've said the title, Spencer. Like, you don't need to give anything else.
That's the thing. But it's just, it's about, it's set in the mid-80s. It's a drug runner. There's a plane crash, and basically there's this missing cocaine that gets thrown out of a plane. There's a black bear that eats it. And it's a dark comedy. And it's just about this bear that ingests this staggering amount of cocaine. And he goes on this coke-fueled rampage. And I just thought it was so... It was, you know, there was... Maybe some of the subplots were slightly loose and tenuous. But I just thought the running time for it was perfect. It was, you know, it was less than 2 hours. I thought the pace was brilliant. There was a superb soundtrack. And it just worked. It was just a fabulous fun ride for me. I loved it. I really did.
I'm not going to say it's one of my favourite films of the year, but I will say this. I would happily tell people to watch it who are prepared to... You know, we've got to say, it's an adult movie. There's a lot of gore in it. There's a lot of naughty words in it as well. But, you know, look, I think the easy way to say this is, if you watch the trailer and you're into it, you're going to be into the film. It's that simple. So while I don't think it's the best movie of the year, I do appreciate your choice, Spencer. And actually, it kind of caught me off guard. And I can't argue with anything you said, because I laughed a heck of a lot at this movie.
Yeah. I mean, some people could say, if you've seen the trailer, you've seen the film.
Yeah, but you would miss out on some absolutely brilliant lines of dialogue in this movie. I don't mean, you know, I'm not talking about thespian-type lines. I'm talking about witty pun lines, and that's what got me.
And it's got, I think it was his final film performance, Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
And, I just absolutely loved it. I really did.
I've got no really problem with you choosing that, to be honest with you. It's fine with me. I gave it a good review. The thing is, if me and you had a film night, chances are we would probably both suggest that movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the thing. So I'm fine with that. Good choice.
Perfect.
Now, my number one film of 2023 kind of goes hand in hand with yours a little bit in that it is a comedy. It is a bit ludicrous as well, but it's also very heartfelt. This is Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
I knew it. Do you know what? I was racking my brains, right, thinking what you was going to do. And I knew this would be in your top five, and I thought this would be your number one. Because you were obsessed with this film, weren't you?
I'm still obsessed with it, Spencer. This is the thing. Yeah. I don't know how many times I've seen this movie. So, for anybody who doesn't know this movie, this is a story about Marcel, who is a mollusk, a.k.a. he's his shell. And he's got eyes, and he's got little feet. Well, red shoes, obviously. And what happens is a filmmaker moves into a house, and he discovers Marcel and his grandma living there. So he decides to film them in a sort of fake documentary type way and then upload it to the internet. And over time, Marcel becomes really famous because he's trying to find his family. His family used to live in this house, but they've moved. Basically, they got caught up when the other family moved out. They were in some of the boxes. There's something so funny about watching Marcel just walk along a countertop. It makes me laugh. There's something so delightful about the way Marcel speaks. It's kind of like this, it's a weird high-pitched, not whine or anything, but it's the type of thing that I just adore. And the way that they talk as well, like, there's so many lines in here that I could quote, but my favourite is probably, why should I smile? Because I like it, and it makes me feel good. You know, that's the type of movie this is. It makes you smile. It makes you feel good. It's heartwarming. It just, you know, considering the atrocities that are happening across the world now, this is a movie that took me away from everything of that. And for nearly 2 hours, I just felt at peace with everything. I just felt calm and relaxed. And I had jokes. You know, there's moments in here where Marcel meets the dog for the first time. He has to sort of fight him off a little bit. It's funny. And then when he goes outside and it's a bit too much, it just, then he sees how he becomes really famous as well on the internet. He doesn't really like it. He doesn't like fame. He's not a fan of it. It just speaks on so many levels about so many different subjects. And it's all done through a shell, a talking shell. It is perfect for the entire family. It doesn't matter what age you are. I think you're going to fall in love with Marcel. I fell in love with Marcel. But there's just something wholesome about this movie, Spencer. Absolutely wholesome from start to finish and funny. And it just brings happy tears.
I have to say, when you recommended it, I watched it, and I have to agree. It's a glorious film. Whoever thought of it on paper was obviously, you know, has the most creative imagination going. But I just really liked it, and it was kind of, you think to yourself, why am I feeling this way? Why am I investing in this? Because yep. Because it just hooks you in. And I really liked it. I thought it was brilliant.
It's wonderful, isn't it? It's just absolutely wonderful. So, my favourite film of 2023, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
Superb. You know what? As top fives go, eclectic is the word for both of us.
Absolutely.
But that's what filmmaking is, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Well, that's the thing. And as I said to you before,
cinema and dreaming is, yeah.
Yeah, as I said to you before, we've had so many movies this year, and movies we've not been able to cover. Look, you chose some we didn't cover. And I like the fact that we've got this ability to see so many different things. That's the beauty of it. That's, as much as it's a lot, and we're trying to keep up all the time, there's something for everybody. That's the beauty.
Yeah, exactly. And long may it continue next year, sir.
Yes, absolutely. Well, obviously, you know, we will be back
We will be.
We will be. You know, next week, back onto it. A full year of movie reviews every Saturday on your show. And then if you subscribe to the podcast, which you can get on all good platforms, you'll get an extra review every single week as well.
Fantastic. So all that's left for me to do, sir, is say thank you, first of all, for your knowledge and your expertise this year. It has, it's been an eye-opener. It's been a great addition to the show. And thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on, Spencer. We've enjoyed it, I think.
We have. It's been fun, and long may it continue next year.
Miss this week's film reviews? Then listen again on phoenixfm.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hospices do more than just help people at the end of their lives. They provide social groups, family support, care at home, and care in the hospice for patients, their families, and carers. St Francis Hospice is your local hospice, supporting the people of Havering, Brentwood, Redbridge and Barking, and Dagenham for the past 35 years. We're here whenever you need us, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To find out more, visit us at sfh.org.uk.
At The Mortgage Specialists, we offer whole-of-market mortgage advice. We pride ourselves on keeping things personal, ensuring the advice you receive is perfect for your situation. With over 25 years' experience, we offer our clients clear, independent advice, delivered in a professional way. Whether you're moving, looking to renew your mortgage, or maybe looking to invest in buy-to-let, call us now on Brentwood 222932 to speak with us today. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
Always someone.
paper right on my skin. Bring me to life, can't start again. There ain't no eraser, all of my flaws, you got them so right. Everything is blank until you draw me, touching on my body like you know me.
Phoenix 98 FM.
Here we go. That was Fifth Harmony there with Right On Me. So we're just heading out towards the news now, and we'll be back in the second hour of the Weekend Wind-Up, and we've got Danny's Choice coming up and also today's cover from another. And there's still time for you to get your messages in, so do please email me direct into the studio. You can email me on radio@phoenixfm.com. It'd be great to hear from you all on social media, and just tell us what you're up to, what your Christmas has been like, what your plans are for the weekend. Even if you want to just say hello, please do. I'd love to hear from you. But we've got loads of great music coming up as well in the next hour. Well, it's 2 hours actually, so great to have your company. New tracks coming in, some old favorites as well, so we'll see you on the other side.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM News.